Today on Real Radio.
How many of you have found redemption? Raise your hand. That means you have found Jesus Christ, or maybe I should say Jesus found you. Redemption only comes through Jesus Christ, says the Bible. You see, yeah, no, that's what I don't like about you Christians. You're so narrow. I have to confess, we are narrow. You know, there's things about your life that you're pretty narrow about, you know? There's things that you like or don't like. There's things that you do or don't do. And you're pretty dogmatic about it, aren't you? Well, you know what? God is very dogmatic about something.
You make me, break me, change my life completely. Always my days, I freely give you my praise. My heart is in your hands, let me feel your touch. Lord, I live for your love.
Hello and welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California. We invite you to listen, learn, and be challenged by the Bible, God's Word. On today's edition of Real Radio, our teacher continues in his series through the New Testament narrative written by Luke. We're taking a look at part of chapter 2 in the portion where the Messiah, as the text reads, grew in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and men. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs in a presentation called Those Looking for Redemption.
Luke chapter 2, verse 36 to 52. And follow along with me if you would. Now there was one Anna, a prophetess, a daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. She was of great age and had lived with her husband 7 years from her virginity. That means she had been married for 7 years after she had gotten married. And this woman was a widow about 84 years who did not depart from the temple but served God with fastings and prayer night and day. And coming in that instant, she gave thanks to the Lord and spoke of him all to all those who looked for redemption in Jerusalem. Verse 39, so when they had performed all these things according to the law of the Lord, they returned to Galilee, to the region of their own city Nazareth, and the child grew, that is Jesus grew, and became strong in spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. His parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of Passover, and when he was 12 years of age, they went up to Jerusalem according to the custom of the feast. And when they had finished the days, or when the days had been completed, as they returned, the boy Jesus lingered behind in Jerusalem. And Joseph and his mother Mary did not know it. But supposing him to have been in the company, they went a day's journey and sought him among their relatives and acquaintances. So when they did not find him, they returned to Jerusalem seeking him. Now so it was that after 3 days, they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the teachers. Listen to what he was doing. He was both listening to them and asking them questions. And all who heard him were astonished at his understanding and answers. So when they saw him, that is when Joseph and Mary saw him, they were amazed. And his mother said to him, "Son, why have you done this to us? Look, your father and I have sought you anxiously." And he said to them, "Why do you seek me? Do you not know that I must be about my father's business?" But they did not understand the statement which he spoke unto them. Then he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was subject to them. But his mother kept all these things in her heart. And Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. We would do well, church, this morning to keep this thing in mind. What do we have going on before us? On the surface, it is a very, very simple account to look at, and we would do well just to read it and be on our way. Why? Because it is so simple. It's something that we all know, and we could easily glaze over it. But what I want to do this morning is kind of extract out of it in a typological or in a symbolic type of form, applying it to our daily life today. But before we do that, let's just look at the obvious. The obvious is the fact that Jesus has been making this traverse from northern Israel, the Galilee region, down to Jerusalem every year. Any and every good Jewish family would have been making this trek. There were 3 main feasts of the year that every Jewish male had to attend. No doubt that the families would also attend. On this pilgrimage, one of them is the Feast of Passover, of course, commemorating God's miraculous deliverance of the nation of Israel out of Egypt by way of the great Passover event, where they would take the blood of an innocent animal and sacrifice it to cover their sins and to place that blood, by the way, listen, to place that blood on the doorpost of the entry of their house in the form of a cross. It was to both sides on the doorpost and lintel of the house, up the top and onto the sides, taking the form of a cross. Very interesting to keep in mind. Why do I stress that? Because when Israel left Egypt, in their tribes, they took the formation of a cross in their tribal layout and wandered through the wilderness, you know now, some 40 years. Very interesting. Why? Pointing ahead to the cross, exactly as that sacrificial lamb pointed ahead to the cross that would be an event very many millennia later. As they looked ahead, so now we look back. Now Jesus, making this trek with his parents, comes now in his 12th year to this particular Passover, and something very unique happens. So we have the story of that. We have the story of his stepfather Joseph and mother Mary looking for Jesus. They lost him, and they had to retrace their steps to find him. And then we also, as we pick up this morning, looking at the life of this woman, Anna. And I want you to approach it this way, that Anna, in a type, in a sense, could be a woman who speaks to us about any believer of any age. That's true, but predominantly, perhaps today, more for us than ever before. We can look at her life and take encouragement as to what God would have you and I to do at a time like this. And so look with me, beginning in our first point, as we look to a message entitled, Those Looking for Redemption. Can you jot that down? Those Looking for Redemption? By the way, I'm going to ask you this question. Get ready to answer. How many of you have found redemption? Raise your hand. That means you have found Jesus Christ, or maybe I should say Jesus found you. Redemption only comes through Jesus Christ, says the Bible. You say, yeah, no, that's what I don't like about you Christians. You're so narrow. I have to confess, we are narrow. You know, there's things about your life that you're pretty narrow about, you know? There's things that you like or don't like. There's things that you do or don't do. And you're pretty dogmatic about it, aren't you? You know, there's things that you've said. And you're firm about those things. Well, you know what? God is very dogmatic about something. The Bible says that he sent his only, not one of many, his only begotten son into the world. Jesus died on the cross for our sins. And he did that once and for all, says the Bible. Why? Because he is the unique Son of God. Never to die again, only to die once. Jesus was offered up once, never to be offered up twice or a third time. Why? Because the price that Jesus paid upon the cross was all sufficient for us. Christian, you and I don't need anything else in this life to give us acceptance or to grant us forgiveness. Jesus is it. The reason why we sometimes wonder about is there more, or gee, maybe I should add something to my Christianity, quite frankly, is that we're not diving into our Christianity enough. We need to extract out of the Bible all that God would have us to experience. And so this morning, what I'm talking to you about today is finding relief or by finding meaning in what God has for us. And so when we talk about those looking for redemption, quite frankly, it's all of us in this room. I knew most of us raised our hands a moment ago, but it's all of you. You say, Pastor, speak for yourself. I've been asked to come here by a friend. I could care less by what you have to say, and I'm going to be out of here in a moment. Not in a moment. You're going to be out of here later. Okay? But the truth of the matter is, you are too looking. You are too pursuing something. Or you may think that you're going to find the pot of gold at the end of a rainbow of drugs, the end of a rainbow of sex, the end of the rainbow for that pot of gold for you, maybe power or persuasion. It could be some sort of advancement that you're looking for, some sort of promotion. Maybe it's just having a guy like this or a girl like this or whatever. And you are looking, you're pursuing, you're looking for something to bring about a, so to speak, redemption in your life. Oh, Pastor, if I just had this, that, or the other, I would have meaning. Listen, thank God through Jesus Christ, those of us who are Christians don't need this, that, or the other. We've got Christ. And if you've got him, you've got everything. Even if your health is taken away from you, you've got Jesus. Even if your nation is taken away from you, or my goodness, look at our country today. A storm comes and takes away your city. You've got Christ. Some of the great churches of America today are ones that would normally be assisting those that are in aid. Now they find themselves in need of assistance as Wilma blew through and affected many churches. Some of them we know very well in the southeast section of the United States. What do you really have? At times like these, my friends, it's good to know Jesus Christ. Amen? Amen. Did you happen to see what the president of Iran said this week about you? I tell you, it's time to buy a helmet. The president of Iran declared to all of his Islamic Muslim nations in that conference that they were having there in the Middle East. I think he forgot that they had a tape recorder going or cameras rolling. He's in big trouble now. The United Nations is being sought after to expel Iran from the UN. Why? Because he said, we're not going to stop until there's no more Israel and total death to America. And then I think somebody said, excuse me, Mr. President, sir, the tape is running. And now Iran's in big trouble because he's asked for big jihad for people to go against America and Israel and all this stuff, you know. I tell you, I'm grateful when I hear stuff like this. You know what? I am not worried about that because I've got Jesus Christ, and if this world is burned up, I have Christ and I'm going to go see him. I hope you have that assurance this morning. And if you do, you're glad. And if you don't, listen in. Those looking for redemption, number one, point one is that they will be prepared to go after it. If you're hungering to find meaning and purpose in life, you will, number one, prepare yourself to go after it. Why? Because you'll prepare yourself to go after anything that brings around to you, and I confess, meaning. It's just that, what are you pursuing? Will you follow God? Will you say, Lord, I understand that you are my ticket to eternity, that you are my ticket to meaning, and that Jesus Christ died on the cross for me? Will you so want to be redeemed and so want to be accepted in heaven that you, my friend, will prepare to go after it? That there's a tenacity for you to follow God? Listen to this. We see it in a symbolic form in this woman, Anna. She's precious to me. It says, now there was this one Anna, a prophetess, so that is, she knew the word of God, and it means she wasn't shy to speak it. She was a daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. She's Jewish, and she was of great age. Will you mark that down? That's going to be important to you in a moment. And had lived with her husband 7 years from her virginity. Verse 37 says, and this woman was a widow of about 84 years. Stop right there at that comma. The first thing I want you to see here is that she is a picture of us looking for redemption. She's prepared to go after it. And look, even if it means she has to wait. Can you jot that down? Christian, will you wait upon God? What if? What if this lunatic president of Iran has his wish and he winds up blowing up America? Will you still wait upon God? When the doctor tells you that you've got 6 months to live, will you still wait upon God? I got news for you, Christian. Where else are you going to wait? And to whom else are you going to wait? Huh? We agree with Peter. Lord, to whom shall we go? You alone have the words of eternal life. There's a wonderful fact that that is true to us theologically right now, but it's never more so powerful than when we are in desperate need and understand that. She's willing to wait. She's been waiting. And I wonder sometimes if we as Christians are willing to wait. Sometimes we lose heart and we give up waiting. But listen, my friend, God will not be early and he will not be late. It's interesting. This woman, nothing deters her. So, Pastor, I couldn't come to church because they changed the time on us. Or I couldn't come to church today. It's too sunny outside. Couldn't come to church. You know, I probably can't come on Wednesday night because the sand and the winds are going to be blowing. And the next Sunday, I don't know, because you know what? It could be cloudy. Anna would not take that. Church, follow along with me. She's waiting upon the Lord. She is of a great age, and she had lived from her virginity for 7 years. What does that mean? Are you ready for this? She got married. We know as a Jewish girl, she would have been married from 12 to 15 years of age if all was normal. Back then. She gets married. Whatever day that was, we don't know. She gets married. She lived with her husband for 7 years. That's what that means. And then her husband died. She was of great age. And I want to stop right there for that. Nothing will deter this precious lady. Not Santa Ana winds, not a time change, not the sun, or not the clouds. She's committed to follow God no matter what. I mentioned to you about Heather Mercer a moment ago. When we had our meeting down at Calvary Chapel Costa Mesa, we came out of that meeting, and one of the pastors turned to me. We were all very humbled, by the way. Some of the big guns, you know, of spirituality. We're all, you know, sitting around the table, and what can you tell us? And this little girl just began to share Jesus and what God has done in her life. And afterwards, we stepped out of the office, and one of the pastors said, "I think I just met Paul the Apostle in a skirt." You want to know why? Because that girl will not take no. She just simply opens the Bible. You know, Jesus says this, let's go. I'm telling you, don't hang around her unless you've got a helmet on. Because I'm telling you, if the Bible says it, let's go. Come on, let's go. That's her whole attitude. She does not take no for an answer. God said it, let's go. And up she goes. And she says it, and that's it. She's not afraid of anything because God says it. When are we going to start being like that? I'm not saying we're not, but I'm just saying it, okay? We need to be like that. What are we so careful about? Well, people might think I'm a fool. They already think that about other silly things. Well, I'm afraid I'm going to fail. Listen, we have failed for stupider things, if stupider is a word. We have failed for lesser things. We've all signed up for something and fallen flat on our face about it. I tell you what, pursue God, you'll succeed every time. Maybe not in the eyes of men, but in the eyes of God. And in the end, what God sees is all that matters, not what men discern. It's the bottom line. So, looking for redemption means this, that we're willing to wait for it. And Anna is a great example. This woman's been a widow for 84 years. What kind of pain could that woman tell us about? Great pain. Number one, in that part of the world, a widow was despised. She didn't have wealth. She didn't have stuff. She didn't have external things to lean upon for her identity. It was just her and God. She had nothing else. 84 years. Okay, now wait a minute. If she was around 12 or 13 years of age and she got married, and she was married 7 years on top of that, let's say she's 20-ish, and then she's a widow for how long? 84 years? Do the math. This is one seasoned old gal. She's over 100 years of age. Look, I'm almost half her age, and I tell you what, if I'm going to go somewhere, I got to get my medications together. I got to figure, and I got to call ahead. How soft are your beds? You know, is it handicap accessible? Why are you handicapped? No, but it could be by the time I get there. I mean, are you with me on that? You know, honey, make sure you pack the Advil. You want to make some money, you guys? Any entrepreneurs in here? Remember when you were little kids, we used to have those little elastic necklaces with all the candy on it? Make them now with aspirin, Advil, color-coded. Color-coded. You can chew on an Advil and then put it around your neck. Oh, my back! Move it around to the blue section. Now, look, some of you are going to go make $1 million. You heard it here first. But it's pretty amazing. This woman could have had any excuse. Church, you might say, well, Pastor, I know the Bible says here that she's, of this age and she's serving God and everything. But, you know, when you're that age, what else are you going to do? That's a cheap shot. Because you know what? At 100 plus years of age, it's a good day if you get out of bed. She got out of bed, and where'd she go? She went to temple. She went to worship. She went to fast. She went to pray. She wanted to be near God and love God and be one that's committed to God. Man, something happens, and we think, oh, I can't go to church today. And we so often go to church every other week. What is that all about? This woman wouldn't miss. And by the way, it's not that she just went to temple. Do you understand that? I think this woman, she's longing for the redemption of Israel. She knows that redemption doesn't come from the temple, just like you ought to know. Salvation doesn't come from this church. Salvation comes from the Lord. We've come here to worship Him publicly while we still have the freedom. Do you know Christ personally? Look, you can go to the top of Big Bear Mountain, 10,000 feet, and find Him there. You can go out here between here and Catalina and go underwater and find Him there. I don't remember the astronaut's name, but there was some astronaut, U.S. astronaut, got witnessed to all of his life, never accepted Christ, got locked into that tin can, they lit a fire underneath it, catapulted him out into space. He said that Apollo unit, that Apollo turned around, and he looked at the Earth, and at that moment, he just knew God's real. Didn't go over well inside the capsule. He shouted it out. God's real. God's real. That guy came back a believer. He had to go 230 miles out into space to get saved. But isn't that what King David said? If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. If I ascend to the outermost parts, behold, thou art there. God's there. She knows that God's not in the temple. God's not in this church. But will you open your heart wherever you're at? Will you say to him, God, I'm longing for redemption. I want to have meaning. God, there's got to be a real life. It's not only something that she waited for. Look at verses 36 to 7. It's something that comes often in difficult things of life. She's a widow of 84 years. That's had to be a hard thing. Difficult times. Church, again, sometimes our most difficult moments in life bring us closer to God. And that's the truth about that. Sometimes we think for some strange reason, I don't know why we think this, but when some rough, difficult time comes upon our lives, we often think that God has forsaken us. And yet the Bible says it's that through experiencing much difficulties that we inherit the kingdom of God. When rough things are going on in your life and my life, people are watching us, and they know that we've professed Christ, and they're watching to see how we go through it. Rough times come to all people, but the Christian should shine along that rough road. Looking for redemption, we'll be prepared to go after it. And if that even means in difficult times, we'll follow him. A third thing that we see under this point is that it's our choosing. That we choose to follow and look after and pursue the redemption of God and prepare our hearts to go after it, even if it means our choosing. In verse 38 it says, and that she, having come in that instant, will you circle that please, coming in that instant? I'll come back to that in a second. She gave thanks to the Lord and, connecting statement, she spoke of him to all those who looked for redemption in Jerusalem. Three things. Number one, coming in that instant. Anna comes in, and here's the beautiful portion about this scripture. Verses 36 to 38 connect us to what had transpired earlier in the life of the man Simeon in Jesus' early life. Anna comes in, and she is in agreement with what Simeon had to say. Now listen, some scholars say, and I happen to agree with them, that Anna's proclamation takes place immediately at Simeon's dedication of Jesus unto the Lord. Remember that? Last time together. Some few scholars say, no, it happens afterwards. It doesn't matter. The point is this. She comes in that instant, the acknowledgement of Jesus Christ as the Messiah and Savior. She recognized that this is the child that's to be Savior of the world. She gives thanks to the Lord, and she speaks of those who look for redemption in Jerusalem, for redemption in Israel. In that instant means she was made immediately aware that this is God's Messiah. And what a joyous moment it was, she began to speak and to proclaim.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, in a presentation called Those Looking for Redemption, a study taken from Luke chapter 2, part of our series through the New Testament narrative of Luke, which will continue on Monday's edition of Real Radio. Now, if you'd like to get a copy of this study or to get in touch with us for any reason, you can visit us at realradioactive.org, realradioactive.org. And while you're there, you can click where it says Send Us a Message and just drop us a quick line letting us know how Real Radio is affecting your growth as a believer. RealRadioactive.org. Our number is toll-free, 877-RR-RADIO, 877-RR-RADIO. Our address, Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 917-09. Of course, all of our contact information can be found at realradioactive.org. Real Radio with Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, and made possible by the generous contributions of its listeners. Till next time, we at Real Radio and Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. Inside, you shine amidst this broken daylight. Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, California.